A very good morning to you. You're listening to the Dawn Chorus live from Kuskokwim Marsh Nature Reserve in Cove in County Cork. What a beautiful morning, what a beautiful sound.
Hello and good morning and welcome to the Mick and Ming Show. Take it away, boys.
On the phone was a senior county council official informing me that he had sorted out my penalty points issue for me.
He's made a mistake. I've made plenty of mistakes in my life. I think most people have. I'm not going to shoot him. And to me, I have no...
Do you know, is there any other member of the group who, like himself, have had penalty points set aside twice?
I don't know, but I did check with Claire Daly and Joan Collins, and both said that they did not have penalty points terminated on their behalf, which was good news.
You're a member of the same group which raised this issue.
It's like a kind of torture to have to watch the show.
But it appears that there is a franchise system going on, whereby if you are cosy with the senior Garda, then you too can have people's offences quashed.
Does one have to be 100% perfect to actually raise an issue in the Dáil? Well, God help us, there'll be no one raising anything because there's none of us perfect.
I heard him say it, and this is not what this interview is about.
It's the same story.
And all of that kind of thing. What kind of a man was your father?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the programme, Marion. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I don't know if I'm in a place yet to actually, you know, deal with the issue of my father and his relationship with me. I did discover that he had been an abuser, and I spoke to him many times and over a long period about that and to some of those who he had abused. But I said what I said in the Dáil, I suppose, because Fiona Doyle had shown such courage, and I wanted to express some sense of solidarity with her. And because when I spoke in the Dáil, the judge had just let her father, who he had found guilty of multiple rapes, and she, as a wee girl, victim of all of that.
Was your father ever charged?
No, he never was. And you know,
was he ever reported to the authorities?
He never was. It was when I came upon this, it was a legacy issue, and those who had been his victims wanted to deal with it, and many families do this, provided that there is no minor at risk and that it is definitely a legacy. But did my mother know? The suspicion would have to be that she knew something. But, you know, even when you say that, I didn't know. You know, and there are lots of examples where a person, mostly girls, but not exclusively girls, could be the victim of abuse and takes all of that abuse because they think in some way they're protecting their younger sisters. And then they discover to their horror that their younger sisters were also being abused. So, you know, it's a matter of puzzlement that in a small, you know, three-bedroom kitchen house with so many people where it's impossible almost to have privacy in a large young family, that these things could happen, but that's the pattern, you know.
Hello, Peter. Hi, how are you?
Okay, so this is the second public toilet in Ennis, and this is where your friend is living here.
Correct. Maybe he is in here, maybe not. Joseph! Otwieraj drzwi! 3-4 months.
He's been living in here 3 or 4 months. Is it cold?
Yes. A homeless man who'd been living in a public toilet in Ennis, County Clare, has died. Joseph Pavelka, who was 52, came to national attention last month when a judge described his living conditions as a scandal.
I am very angry, very angry. I tell the truth right now. I, last night, cry and when I sleep, 4 times about him. 4 times I cry. I don't care what the people thinking. They cry, the man, woman, whatever. I tell the truth. I cry myself 4 times about Joseph. I speak right now in the radio. But when we finish, I still silent because I don't have somebody to speak.
But anyway, the point was that not everybody agreed with me when I said about not bringing presents. This one said, where's it gone? Oh, no. Well, you can have a listen to what they said here. Listen to this.
Mooney, you're the meanest ass in the country and money mad.
Hi, Derek. I've never heard of anyone who is so tight with money. No Christmas tree, no kitchen table. You must be an absolute millionaire. Regards, Mags in Cork.
I got a sorry reputation with the people in my town. They know I got the green stuff, but I don't spread it around.
You are the biggest cheapskate ever.
Now I've heard it all. I always thought Derek was stingy, but not to give a wedding gift, that takes the biscuit.
Have a very low opinion of mankind. It's lovely to give a gift. Don't you get pleasure from receiving a present on your birthday?
'Cause someday I might just spend it all.
Hi Derek, love the show. You drive me nuts sometimes. Your presents probably cost them about €100 just to feed and water you.
Would you go to a party and not bring a bottle of wine?
Derek must be very mean if he and a partner went to one and gave no present. He won't get many invites now.
What a meanie. I wouldn't want to be inviting him anywhere.
What it all boils down to is, you're a tight git, Derek.
The affection and the esteem I'm held in by not just the listeners after my comments,
but by
the staff. No, I don't mind it. I thrive on it. Are you mad? Why would I mind it?
They call you cheap. They're not inviting you to their parties.
And just to let you know, before we begin, the living room we are about to visit is host to some strong language at times. And in this combination of old and new school approaches to radio drama, everything will be live.
So, what you use to kill him?
I don't know. I've an old fishing knife.
And for cutting up the body?
I've a hacksaw in my toolbox.
Oh, this is doable. This is easily doable. And I'll tell you what. How's this for a brainwave, Deco? He won't even have to do the cutting, just the killing. He'll do it in the shop and make it look like a robbery. Late at night, whenever he does the books, you'll sneak in while he's alone and do it then. Oh, you'll have to rob the safe, of course, and we'll have to hide the money and not be too flashy with it. We'll squirrel it away somewhere and be sensible, like.
But there's CCTV to be considered.
Detailed!
You gave a lot of personal guarantees, which a lot of people did in the heyday. So, at what stage or how or what would be the procedures for somebody to declare you a bankrupt?
Any of the banks could declare me a bankrupt. There are still some subcontractors owed money, not many now. We have worked as hard as we could over the last 4 years to try and look after as many as we could. The chances of being made bankrupt by any of the banks, in my opinion, it's actually unlikely.
Why?
Because it'll cost them money to do it.
How much money? Well, you see, the imagery then is like the place in Turin and the vineyard. It sounds like, wow, what a lifestyle.
Yeah, well, with regard to the vineyard in Italy, I mean, that involves a lot of hard work. I bought that place for 60,000. Now, I put a house on it, which I've had to give to my brother because I owed him 550,000 for building material. I still actually look after the grapes. I still process the wine. A lot of work in it. Apartment in Turin, any of the banks can take that and just pay the bills on it, to pay the money owed on it as they please. So,
do you use it?
Yeah, if I go to Turin, I use it, but I don't be there as often as I'd like to be. But I do go, of course I do, yeah. I try and book flights in advance. You can book flights normally in the winter time for €20 plus tax. And
do you still go to see Juve?
I still and Torino and Milan as much as I can. But
dependable competitor, Nevin. Yeah, I think Nevin's boxing very well on the back foot here. He's keeping his range, boxing at distance very well indeed, and bringing his opponent.
How's he doing so far?
He looks he's doing all right now. Hopefully he'll pull it off. I think he's a great chance now, though.
How come you're in here watching it and not inside?
I couldn't get no tickets. Maybe we can have him for Windsor. Hopefully, if he wins this fight, do you know what I mean?
And there he is, name on the screen, John Joe Nevin.
I'm going to celebrate every time. And I wouldn't mind, it's my birthday today and all.
Is it?
So I'm going to celebrate my birthday today.
Oh, well, listen, happy birthday.
No, thanks very much.
What age are you?
Oh, Jenny Mac, I am 40.
A guard wouldn't ask you that.
40 years old, I'm not ashamed to say it. Up the Irish.
Yeah. What will you be saying to him later now when you see him?
Well done, son. And I'm proud of you. What more can I say to him?
Not expecting
will you be heading
all.
Straight back on the plane?
I'm going to hang out for a little while. Okay. And
any plans in particular? Anywhere you're going to go?
Are you inviting me on a date? It's a bit inappropriate.
Well, wherever you'd like to go.
Thank you for asking, but I've got a dinner date tonight with my three boys.
I see.
I'm going to get home in time for tea and bedtime.
Thank you, Derek. A very good afternoon and you're welcome to Thursday's Drive Time, August 9th, 2012. And Katie Taylor has a date with destiny. Just four rounds, 8 minutes, separate the Bray woman from a coveted Olympic gold medal. She's dreamt of
nerve jangling, heart stopping, to the point of being unbearable. For the next 15 minutes, the eyes and ears of Ireland and the world will focus on the blue canvas-coloured ring in the centre of the Excel Arena here in the Docklands of London. A capacity crowd, 10,500 people, the majority from Ireland. For the next 15 minutes, our country holds its breath. Can you bear to watch? Can you bear to listen? Actually be a comeback. Here comes the result.
Winner by a score of 10 points to 8.
Yeah.
And the Olympic champion.
Yeah.
In the red
it's ours.
Katie
yes.
Taylor is the Olympic champion of the world. The gold medalist from Bray. Dreams do come true. Wonderful. Katie Taylor. Mahu Katie Karina Licky. Olympica. Tom Winter, Nahiran, Bradul, Asat, Gogordicus, Katie Taylor, Neil Gwelga, Gamahagum. But on a day like this, it is just wonderful to be Irish. Katie Taylor has conquered the world.
Good morning. This is Countrywide.
Katie, beautiful Katie, you're the only good girl that I adore. When the moon shines over the cow shed, I'll be waiting at the kitchen door.
And on Sunday was Palm Sunday. We were down, everything going on, and they had said 48 hours. And I remember Fergus calling me at, I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock on Sunday. And I said, well, Fergus, with the help of God, when you call tomorrow morning, everything will be fine. The 48 hours left clipped in. And I believed it. Well, I had to want to believe it. So at some time we went over and they were just changing up the rooms, we thought. And the next thing, the doctor came in and said, lads, guys, I have news for you. We have to put him on the kidney dialysis machine. It may kill him, but we have to put him on. He said, and then he said, which I'll never forget, we've had to revive him twice already. And just as he was explaining something, a nurse came in and said, doctor, we need you fast. A couple of minutes, he came back in later, shaking his head, saying, sorry, but we couldn't save him. That's when we knew. Not for 1 minute beforehand. Those are the words, sorry, we couldn't save him. That was at 6 o'clock Sunday evening. Our beautiful boy died.
That's just so sad. I'm so sorry. How do you deal? I don't even know what to ask when somebody's...
There is no dealing.
There is nothing.
There is no dealing. There is no...
And I'm going to make that request here now on National Radio. I'm going to make this request to Andy Kenny. Has he got the guts? Have the government got the guts to invite somebody like me in to address this issue once and for all and put her to sleep? I think somebody needs to stand up for these women who are the salt of this earth. I knew them personally. They were absolutely outstanding women. They were put in there and they were categorised as fallen women.
Your own mother, I mean, she was just a tiny little
creature when she was arrested for begging.
My own mother was arrested at 2.5 years of age. And it is a remarkable thing about...
And do the sisters think, Claire, that the order should now apologise?
You read my mind, Eileen. This is a question a lot of our listeners will want to know. So here was their response to that.
Apologise for what? Apologise for providing a service? We provided a free service for the country. OK, it may have been putting away an ugly part of society, which it was in a sense, but it was the family who chose to put them there. Sometimes we could ask ourselves, why did we set up refuges and take over refuges in the 1850s from someone else? It was because we thought we were doing good.
Yeah, white smoke billowing out, Mary, and huge cheers going up here in St. Peter's Square. Tremendous excitement. It means that we have a Pope on the fifth ballot probably today. You can probably hear the bells of St. Peter's behind me as well now, and thousands of people are streaming into St. Peter's Square here. We expect to have the Pope on the balcony in about 35
minutes. Okay, and we can hear the ignition in the engine, and we're about to sound the horn for Sean's S-shaped driving parking exercise. So, on the count of 3, 2, 1.
So she's in gear. The handbrake is off. Now he's taking a mind. Easy, easy, easy. The front of it was nearly. There's a dent in the van there, but I don't think he did it.
Bad Pat.
Oh, yeah, he's nice and handy. Take it easy, Sean. Okay. He's using both nerves, looking over his shoulder. He's doing everything right, but he's missing it. He has to go around again. Lockhart, right side down. I'm trying to help you, Sean, here. Take a handy. Easy. Yeah. There's room on the left. We're nearly home. We're back on our way there. And he's only the one hand.
Back in the dented mists of time when I was doing my show Sounds Like BP Fallon on Radio Éireann, which was above the GPO in Henry Street, I played the whole of Bob Dylan's Nashville Skyline in one programme, and I was called up to answer for my bad behaviour. How could I play a record with Lie Across My Big Brass Bed? Consequently, Lay Lady Lay by Bob Dylan was banned by Radio Éireann.
Lay Lady Lay, lay across my big brass bed.
So I went to Grafton Street, which was an absolute...
A foray into a foreign country.
Yeah, I might as well have been going to New York, honestly. And I went over and I didn't have the guts for Grafton Street the first day. So I went to that laneway in between Powers Court and Grafton Street, where Mary now busks, Mary Begley. Mary was there the day I went out, and she's amazing. And I went out and I stood in the laneway and I played a song, a Bob Dylan song. Just Like a Woman, I remember. And someone threw 20 pence into me box. I immediately closed my box, put my guitar on my back, went over to the Mayfair Grill on O'Connell Street because I couldn't wait to get to the north side. Don't ask me why. Had a cup of tea, and I remember thinking, this was the first cup of tea I bought out of my own earnings, through music, through my art. I had this kind of epiphany of like, this is the beginning of a whole life. And I went out the next day, and then did it till I was 18. Pretty much.
Good evening, friends. I'm delighted to be here as another call for him. I hope you're all enjoying my programme there at the weekend, the Glich, where we celebrated a marvellous evening with all the most loved cultural icons in Ireland and Bono. Of course we've had, and as we reflect here on Holy Week and the humility, wonderfully, the Pope Francis is a lovely, lovely man. The austerity that he's brought back into the Vatican, you know, the official papal breakfast is now Cocoa Popes. It must be awkward though, having Pope Emeritus Benedict hanging around and looking around like Mary Magdalene's. Get out of the bushes! This is my house now. I am the president.
Bill Seal is a retired guard based in County Wexford, and he demonstrates to me some of the whistle commands.
To go left. Lie down. Go right. And come on, walk on. That's basically it.
And what about you, feckin' clown? You? No.
Well, you use that the day before you bring them out.
Now, it's time for the German Supermarket Factor. It's the final. Lidl versus Aldi. You decide. Lidl.
I personally prefer Lidl, just because there's better lighting.
Lidl has the best pull-ups.
And there's better looking people in Lidl than there is in Aldi.
Lidl, because they do fresh bread. And that's the only reason, really.
Aldi.
People who work there are friendlier on the whole.
Aldi. I think I like the way the shelves are done and it's easier to find the stuff.
This is my first time in Aldi. First impressions, Aldi is a nicer setup, I think.
Aldi has the best ham.
That's it. I shop in Aldi because it sells like random stuff, like label makers and stuff.
Aldi. There's a girl on the checkout that I wouldn't mind taking out.
Lidl.
I'm usually make shopping in Lidl and I don't know, I prefer Lidl. For me, I think the prices are better.
Because we have more friendly stuff for first, more stuff to pick and fresh bread now. I will never work with Aldi, I will stay with Lidl till the rest of my life.
Aldi!
The cat likes the cat food out of Aldi, doesn't like Lidl.
I know
Lidl from my country. Aldi is not in my country. I don't know Aldi.
It's the final. Lidl versus Aldi. You decide.
And I just loaded the machine.
There it is.
Here we go.
And there's the man.
Yes.
There we go, Frank. Yeah.
Frank Haystack, yes.
Yeah, man of letters, 1945. Note found in a bottle created a buzz.
And people had heard of it. I asked them. They just could not pin down when it was in the paper. They vaguely remembered it.
It would seem that my visit to the library was to be more productive than I'd hoped. For by chance, the man whose microfilm machine we'd borrowed was listening in.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
Have you heard the story?
So what's the story?
Oh, Mr. Haystack was in the army, and
he... Oh, the guy that threw the bottle
at
there?
Bottle,
yeah,
yes.
And you're from Ireland. And you found... I've heard about that my entire life. My mother lived in the same area where he lived.
On Friday 23rd morning, I drove the cows to the fields beside the sea and then went for a walk on the strand called Bale. It's an inlet of Dingle Bay. Well, my dog was running before me, and I saw him stop and sniff something lying on the sand, and then he went off in pursuit of a seagull. I found the object was a brown bottle, and I saw there was a paper in it. The cork of the bottle crumpled in my fingers. How the note kept dry, nobody can understand. So I sat there on the beach and I read it.
I'll be waiting.
I thought at first I was dreaming.
You have no idea. Well, tell me this. Do you know who Sam is?
Yeah, the cop.
Oh, have you ever seen Sam?
Nope.
Nope. Right, we'll go on to the next one.
Oh, Jimmy's winning matches.
Are you all excited about Donegal being in the final?
Yeah.
Bringing Sam back to Donegal again.
Up Donegal!
Very excited. So excited. I don't have anything up my room of football. I only like kicking a ball.
What have you got up in your classroom? Tell me.
Donegal flags.
Loads and loads. The whole town is covered in them, isn't it?
Not our house. We have one up at the house, but Daddy won't put it up yet because he thinks it's going to blow away if we put it up. Mammy doesn't even want to put it up.
Why not?
She's not one bit interested in football.
And of course, don't forget 2012 All-Ireland Senior Football Final is underway. The ball thrown in by Morris Deegan. A scrap for possession. Neil Gallagher of Donegal had it, but he was blocked down. But Donegal still have it. minutes have just about gone. The ball fired in 20 metres from the Donegal goal. Michael Murphy, the captain, has gone down injured. It's over. It's all over. And Donegal are All-Ireland champions for 2012. Carl Lacey down celebrating in front of Hill 16. Jim McGuinness celebrates with Rory Gallagher. What a journey he has taken these players on in the space of...
I've just been accosted by a man here. What's your name, sir? What's your name? Oh, you're in the way now that I'm pointing the mic.
I'm Paddy Murphy, somewhere here down in Moore County Waterford. Where are you?
Say hello to Derek, Paddy.
Who's Derek?
Derek Looney on the radio.
Hello, Derek.
How are you, Paddy?
He's looking around. He's looking all around the podcaster for you. So he's in Dublin, Paddy, and I'm down in Dungarvan.
But I'm from Ardmore. It's 13 miles somewhere here.
Yeah.
And it's on the way from Yard into Ardmore.
And listen, we might go for that drink later on. Thanks for asking.
Come here. How are you, Derek?
No, I'm glad, Paddy.
He's up in Dublin.
But there's one side I'd like. What, a great singers of mine.
Yeah, Paddy.
Glory Brothers.
It's lovely talking to you, Paddy. Stay there.
I thought you were a fat bean.
Oh, stop it, Paddy. This is lovely. It's live radio. Paddy, will somebody give him a slap there, please?
Now...
Good luck, Paddy. It's lovely talking to you.
Come here.
Give me a kiss. Mwah, lovely.
Taoiseach Cropac will end up in mass strikes and industrial...
It's Friday, Gilmore. Relax. Let me spell it out for you.
What are you doing?
The Easter holidays were long enough for me to learn piano. Put Howlin' up on your knee, Joan. I want him to hear this too.
Come on, Brandon.
When the economy's broken and the troika has spoken, then you have to try...
Try what? What?
Croke Park. Wow. But with unions campaigning and the workers complaining, there is not a hope.
No, no chance
for Croke Park. The talks were just an endless string of verbal diarrhea.
Yes.
Sipped juice full of beards, I'd rather deal with North Korea. How can they lose?
That bloody opposition.
Boyd, Barrett and Higgins are there as the lefties all line up to tell you just where to shove.
Croke Park.
Up where the sun don't shine.
Croke Park.
We'll never get them to sign.
Croke Park.
One was okay, but not two.
Lads, who is singing very badly out of key?